Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday morning, November the 13th, 2025, 13 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to Marion's number one news source. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We had an interesting first hour there. I saw some calls coming in as we were going to break, so feel free to get in on the conversation. And again, I have appreciated all the calls that have come in this week. Over the last couple days, people giving their opinions and thoughts on everything going on in the world and locally. And our number one was the conversation about the $25,000 allocated Monday by Marion City Council for people in need in the Marion City area in regard to the loss of SNAP benefits for the last 13 days, almost 2 weeks now. Here we are. If you have an opinion on that or anything that was said in hour number one, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, let's see. There were some other things here this morning. Well, I'll tell you, you know, with the, we got a little, I don't like to do a whole lot of national news on this show, but the whole Epstein emails yesterday that became available. There are a lot of them, and there's some pretty rocky stuff in there, let's put it that way, regarding a lot of people, one of which is our president, Donald Trump. And I'm not sure where that all goes, and I'm not sure what that all means, but I can't imagine on the long haul that that's going to be good for anybody. I don't know. That's just a very, very, very rough subject for a lot of people. So, you know, we're mentioning it, we're paying attention to it, but I don't think on the long haul that's going to be a very flowery subject for anybody in the end. Now, I did want to make mention, I've said it before, you know, we have this new spray tan place opening up next door to us here, where we do the radio program, and I've started to notice that there is a little bit, it's not a bad smell, and I'm not even sure it's from the spray tan, but there's a little bit of a smell going on in the area. It kind of smells like paint, so I'm not really sure what that is, but there it is. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Oh, that's nice this morning.
What's that?
Yeah, you said it a little lighter and a little quicker. It was good.
Less sarcasm to it.
There you go.
You know everything that goes on in this town. And I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Reading in today's newspaper, there's the overview of City Council. Go Bus comes to Marion.
Yes.
What the hell is the Go Bus?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know a whole lot about the Go Bus, but it's a service, obviously, that is in certain places of Ohio that does what it does. You know, it's public transportation. It's another form of public transportation.
Where does it go?
Well, there are certain routes that it goes, and you have to know those probably to understand how it works. But it will be, I guess, available in Marion very soon. It's my understanding it's a rural service, but it's a nice bus. I mean, I've seen pictures of these things, and it's like a tour bus. It's that type of a...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It says the passes will be $5. And it's a nicer bus than the Night Moves bus? How can that be?
Oh, I believe they have first-class amenities on this Go Bus. And it's a handicap accessible, I believe.
Oh, my God. And the state can do that, and it's only $5?
Well, state's got a lot more money than the city does.
I love the line. Odine said the city of Marion will be ranked higher for grant money from ODOT due to its participation in the program. I have told the omnipotent, omniscient mayor that Marion needs to become a Tree City USA because of what statement here in this article from Bodine has. You get preferential treatment. You have higher ranking when you sign up for grants and things of that nature. Now, I'm hoping that's still the case because it had been a couple years ago that I had talked to one of the individuals that made Prospect a Tree City USA. And Marion really needs to become one of those. And I think it came about, if you recall, on South Greenwood Street when they were redoing the sewers and that. They wanted to tear down the trees that were there. I want to say, what were they? What kind of trees? Sycamore, maybe? Anyways, they wanted to tear all those down, and there was a big to-do about it, so they ended up saving all of those trees. But Marion should really consider, among other things, becoming a Tree City USA. It would carry much more weight than Strong Town.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very interesting. The Go Bus thing, I think the closest stop that we have had heretofore is Mount Gilead. I believe there is one in Mount Gilead. But there are certain routes that it goes along. I'm sure Mansfield's on it, Cleveland's on it, Akron's on it, Cincinnati, you know, places like that. Columbus, obviously.
So it could possibly be a shuttle between Marion and Columbus taking people down to Columbus?
Well, it could be, but there are certain routes and certain times, and I would imagine if you, let's say if the route, if we are a certain route, and you rode that to Columbus, because I would imagine Columbus is on our route, because that's pretty much a straight shot, Mansfield, same type of thing. But to go to Cleveland, you might have to get on a different route, a different bus at some point. So
yeah.
It's interesting how it works. I mean, I think you probably have to do it a few times to get it down to try to figure out where you were going. But if you wanted to go to Columbus from Marion, I bet that would be a pretty easy trek. Now, where they drop you off and how close that is to where you need to go may be another story.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of maybe like what the old interurban used to be. So hopefully establishing those routes, maybe there's a potential of being able from Marion to get a lift down to GNR or down to Delaware or even down to Columbus.
Well, see, and I'm not sure that it's all on stops, and I'm not sure. GNR, probably not.
Well, Waldo.
Right. Yeah. I doubt Waldo's on the list, but I think it's to connect. I don't know. It's just cities, I think, that they pass through that they see a need. Is what this is really all about, population centers. Because Mount Gilead being on it, you know, that's mid, I would say. Mansfield, places. I think they're on the route that they take. I can't see where Waldo would be on a route. But who knows? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it's just right off of 23, no big deal. But not much of a demand to go to Waldo. You know.
Right. Well, let's see here. I'm looking right now. Let's say, if I want to go, because Marion's not on here yet. If I wanted to go from Mount Gilead to, now see, but then you get just, if you're leaving Mount Gilead, here are your spots where you can go. Ashland, Columbus, Mansfield, Worcester. Okay, so if I want to go to Columbus, and I'm one rider, and I want to go today, what will happen is that I have to leave at 8:45 tonight. I have to get on the Go Bus at Wendy's in Mount Gilead, and I will get to Columbus at 9:35, and I will be downtown on Mound Street. It'll take 50 minutes, it's schedule 11, and it'll cost $5.
Wait a minute. from, did you say Mount Gilead?
At the Wendy's. Apparently that's where the stop is.
Okay. At what time of day?
8:45 p.m. Now, that's today. But let's say I wanted to go tomorrow. Let's say I'm planning
Okay,
8:45. Well, no, apparently that's the route every day. I'm looking now, and apparently that's the route.
8:45 in the afternoon.
P.M.
And it arrives in Columbus at what time?
9:35.
At 9.
And you're going to be...
9 p.m.
Yep, you're going to be on Mound Street downtown.
Yeah. So, you must be, well, you know, downtown Columbus kind of closes down except for restaurants and bars, you know, at 9 p.m.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is certainly not an on-demand service by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm not exactly sure how you'd even get back. I mean, there probably is some way to get back. Let me see if I can get back here. Okay, let's say I want to go from Columbus back to... Let's see if... Okay, now, Columbus has a lot of places I can go, and Mount Gilead is one of those. Okay, let's say I want to do that. Now, let's say I want to do that today, on the 13th. If I put that in, now that's more of an afternoon thing. That's Mound Street in downtown Columbus. I would have to get on at 3:25 p.m., and I could get back to Mount Gilead's Wendy's at 4:05, and that's 40 minutes. But, now see, now here's the problem. You'd have to stay overnight in Columbus to take the ride
do
back.
Do you realize there's no way you could get to Mount Gilead in less than an hour?
Well, apparently they're driving fast. I don't know.
I don't know, but geez. That's kind of strange. It'll be interesting to see the passengers at those particular times that those routes are available. Jeez. I'm trying to think. COTA, don't they stop at 10 or 11?
Yeah, I don't think they run. Yeah, I'm not sure anymore. You see them down there a lot.
Yeah, they don't run too late. So, no, I was just kind of curious. The Go Bus.
That's the Go. What else? What other brilliance was there in that article? What did they have to say about the $25,000 food allocation?
Let me get back to it here. Where is it? Job. They got the job. Okay, council approves $25,000 to serve SNAP recipients. Mary City Council unanimously approves using $25,000 of either opioid settlement fund dollars or general fund dollars to go toward helping SNAP benefit recipients. The council advised city administration that it can decide how best to distribute the money and what organizations to support. Aaron Rollins, at-large councilman, commended the Marion community for support for organizations like the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck. Quote, if the community can set up in a big way, it's time for city... That doesn't sound right. If the community can step up in a big way, it's time for city council and the administration to step up in a big way. Unquote, Rollins.
You know what's interesting? Is that in a conversation that I was having last night, now people were not criticizing the money being given. The group that I was in, they were not criticizing that. What they were criticizing is that city council gave this money to the mayor with no direction on how to spend it. That's the criticism I heard last night.
Yeah, that, you know, given that, giving money and authority for that individual who... You know, the guy has no free enterprise. He's never run a business at all, ever. He's been a bureaucrat his whole life. He's always had money available when they submit a budget and that. It seems that council should have final say on what entity gets it. Now, it seems to make sense to me. I don't know if it's illogical. But Roxanne Summerlot of the Marion County Jobs and Family Services, they have the database of people that are on the supplemental nutrition program. And it would seem to make sense that that monies could be put there. Or, in lieu of them, Salvation Army,
homeless shelter,
another organization that has the wherewithal and that and knows the needs of the community and stuff. Or even for that matter, perhaps, I don't know, the Marion Community Foundation?
Homeless shelter. I don't know about the Community Foundation. Community Foundation, I think, would not go over well, to be honest with you, because they've got a lot of money, and I don't think their big business is necessarily this, in an expedient manner.
As far as I know, and I could be wrong, I don't think the Marion Community Foundation has ever given anything for humanitarian purposes.
And I don't think you could do it for, I don't think you could go person to person, because the amount would be very, very, very small if you included everybody. And I think, like I said in hour number one, I think the homeless shelter is a big one, and nobody's going to get angry about that, and there certainly is a need. And then I think...
Well, think about this. Just think, say a homeless shelter, or a number of homeless shelters, and all that money go into a lunch or something. Tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. Just think how much that, how many people could participate in that.
Well,
far you could stretch those dollars.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I mean, but I do think it was interesting last night that was the only criticism that I heard. It was not criticism that the money was given, although there has been that criticism from certain groups. The big criticism was that the mayor was not given any guidelines on how to spend this money. And I think that's interesting that was the feedback, that council did that.
That's an interesting point, too, because now the mayor wants to have an economic development department. Previous years, they've willy-nilly given $40,000 with no strings attached or told what we expect for this money, and yet they think that they can have a government office and have more control when you are giving monies to an enterprise, you can have strings attached, requirements. I want to know what your business plan is. I want to know how you're going to spend this money. I want to know quarterly reports of the progress, etc. They've had control all the time. They've never exercised it.
We shall see where it all goes. Thanks for calling.
But you know, with the food thing, I think that's, you know, it's a valid point.
Yeah.
Because people need to know that it's going to be properly administered and nothing go to waste. And I would bet this. People wouldn't mind if 50 cents of every dollar they earned went into taxes. They wouldn't mind if they knew, I'll never have to pay for a driver's license again, license plates for my car. I will only pay 2% of the Internal Revenue Service taxes. And if it cuts a lot of things and they see those benefits and they don't see that money squandered, I don't think they'd have a problem. But they're right to question. And there needs to be accountability somewhere. You know, it's the same old thing. But do a better tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, and again, phone lines are open if you'd like to get in on the conversation, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's an interesting conversation to have, and that was really the only conversation that I was involved in about this, and it wasn't people complaining about the money being spent by City Council. It was the fact that City Council put no guidelines in there on how this money should be spent. Now, it wasn't an indication that the mayor is not going to spend it in the right places. It was just that if this is City Council's idea and City Council allocates the money, why did they not put any thought into how this is going to be done? I think there is some criticism there But I don't know where that all goes. But the phone lines are open as always, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So you do what you do, I guess, as we go on down the road. I don't know. I thought about that last night when I first heard that criticism that they should have put guidelines in. It's an interesting point. I certainly think it's a valid point that people would make. In any event, let's see. What else is there to talk about here this morning? Well, you know, it is interesting to me because we do have millionaires here in Marion. They are here. They don't usually flaunt it around, but they're here. Those people don't usually complain about stuff like this. And usually when they give money, they do it anonymously. I mean, I know of millionaires who gave to the peanut butter jelly truck last week when they heard they were in need. And they didn't do it in a flashy way. They didn't do it to get any attention put on themselves. They just did it because they wanted to do it. So it's interesting to me that a lot of the criticism of doing this comes from people who, you know, I don't know. Maybe they don't have. I don't know what group that is. I want to hesitate not to say middle class because I'm not sure that's what it even is. It seems to me that the group that criticizes this is a group that is struggling themselves. And maybe that's where the criticism comes from, because they're in a struggle. Because people who have expendable money, the millionaires, you know, in this society, in our community, don't seem to be out complaining about things like this. I don't know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, feel free to give us a buzz. And as I said yesterday, I thought when the peanut butter jelly truck feature was done on Channel 4, the fact that there was criticism of it, I thought that was interesting. That there's always blowback to everything, isn't there? No matter what you do, there's always some kind of blowback. Hey, I'll tell you something I wanted to talk about, the fruitcake toss. Because it's hard to believe that we are getting this close at this point. It is November 13th. Now, our fruitcake toss is most likely less than a month away. And this has been a big event each and every year. We're all getting excited for it. And we'll be giving you the details on this, hopefully, very quickly on how to nominate somebody to get in the fruitcake toss. And we'll find out who this year's fruitcake toss champion is. Now, our first champion was Ralph Thacker. And I cannot remember, I'll have to look it up. I cannot remember the kid's name who won year two. Now, he worked at Donato's Pizza, and he broke the record that year for the longest throw. I cannot remember his name for some reason. Then Sheriff Bales won in year three. And last year, it was Brian Murphy, superintendent of the Marion City Schools. So, that's the fruitcake toss. This year will be the fifth annual, I guess. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. A lot of people get involved, and it's all done through nomination processes. And we'll give you more information on that as the time goes by here. The event of the holiday season, the number one event of the holiday season, the fruitcake toss, coming up very soon here on WGH Talk. Now, oh, and we also usually do the Buckeyes and the hot chocolate. Now, the Buckeyes become chestnuts during fruitcake toss time, but the hot chocolate and the Buckeyes, the chestnuts. So that'll be coming up, and hopefully we'll have all that this year like we've had each and every year. Let's see. What else is on the agenda here as we get close? Oh, I had a call yesterday as we were going off the air. We did not have time to take the call. So if the person who called as we were going off the air yesterday is out there, feel free to give us a buzz. Because coming up the day before Thanksgiving, which I believe is 2 weeks from yesterday, we have always started our Upper Crust Society event. Now, if you're new to the station, the Upper Crust Society was started years ago. What happens is Bob Welsh from Columbus, Ohio, comes down to Marion the day before Thanksgiving, and we choose who should be a member of the Upper Crust Society. Bob brings a pizza crust. The person who's going to join the Upper Crust Society autographs the pizza crust. Bob gets a picture of them, and then he goes back to Columbus. There is a plaque made, and that person is presented with a plaque and becomes a member of the Upper Crust Society. And I'm trying to think of past members of this. I do know that I was the first, and I still have my plaque at home. Then I know Mary Ellen Withrow, Buckeye Guy, and George Kasotis were all introduced into the Upper Crust Society. I believe that was the second year. Then the third year, I believe it was Marianne Michaels, Jack Kellogg, and it may have just been those two. Marianne Michaels and Jack Kellogg. We might have went down to two for the third year. Now, last year, I believe the Upper Crust Society was Sheriff Bailey and Brenda Donegan. I believe that was the group last year. So those are the members. I believe we've narrowed it down to two now. So we have Brenda Donegan, Jack Kellogg, Marianne Michaels, George Kasotis, Mary Ellen Withrow, Buckeye Guy, myself, and Sheriff Bailey. That's the group. So, does anybody have any suggestions as who should be or whom should be in the Upper Crust Society this year? Big honor here. And Bob, if you're out there listening this morning, what are your thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. Now, we've also started a tradition the day after Thanksgiving. We come into the studio that morning. Bob comes in that morning. And we have, well, the day before, we have some kind of turkey-themed pizza. We've had pumpkin pie pizza. We've had turkey pizza, the big tur pizza we have had years ago. We have had, I believe, cranberry pizza. And then the day after, we light the WGH Christmas tree, which has a pizza crust star on the top of it, made by Bob. And he's also given us some ornaments over the years. We have Lighty Boy's dog collar ornament. And I think we put a new ornament on it last year, and I can't remember. That's also the day we have the famous chintz room. Is that from Lazarus? I think it was Lazarus. Lazarus chintz room bread pudding, which I think does have some alcohol in it. Has an alcoholic content. We have that, and we also have some kind of Christmas-themed pizza. One year there was fruitcake pizza. I think that about broke the bank one year in regard to price. And we've had some other Christmas-themed pizzas that are escaping me at the moment. But does anybody have any suggestions on who should be in the Upper Crust Society this coming year? Or any thoughts on turkey Christmas themed pizza or Thanksgiving themed pizza or anything of that nature? Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz and we can discuss any of these things. I think it's all very interesting as we head in to the big holiday season, which is not too far away. 2 weeks away. Thanksgiving Eve coming up right around the corner. And then we have the fruitcake toss and all those other things. Well, the audience phone lines have become quiet here now. We've hit a lull after 2 days of solid calls. Maybe we've talked certain subjects to death. It's hard to tell. That happens from time to time. 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss whatever is on your mind. And if it has to do with anything current events-wise, we can talk about that as well. We can get back into the serious stuff here. Certainly no lack of topics that are of heavy interest to people in Marion and beyond. I was not hit by an aqua van this morning, so I feel pretty prominent in that at this particular point. Waiting to see what the mayor does with this $25,000. Do you think there should have been instructions given on how to spend this? Does anybody have a problem that there were no instructions given on how to spend this money? Is that a problem for anybody? I don't know. Like I said, that was the conversation I was involved with last night. That seemed to be where the anger was coming from last night. More that the city council did not give any instruction on how to spend this money. 740-383-9944. And is there a lingering conversation about, does the city have this money? And should this have even been suggested on Monday? We have certainly heard the conversation this morning about this is why it should have been done. This is why it should not have been done. This is where it should go. I don't know. It's all very out there right now. It's kind of an individual thing at this point. What do you want your government to do? What do you feel the government should be doing, I guess, is what this comes down to. And I do find it interesting. What is the sociological, psychological theory behind not doing it? Why would you not want to do it? Is it that the city doesn't have any money? Could be that. But does the city have money? You know, if you pass an economic development position, does that signal that there is money in the city? I think these are all certainly valid questions, all certainly questions that could be discussed as we go on down the road. Does anybody think this was done for a political reason? I think we heard that suggestion earlier, that this might have been done for a political reason. I don't know. I mean, I think politicians all somewhat do things for political reasons, but I don't know if that's what this was. I really did not get an indication that this was a political thing, but you never know, I guess, is the way it goes. Again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, is there any light news going on in the world? Oh, let's see. What little bit of... You know, the governor's race is about a year away, and I'm starting to see a lot more articles on that. Amy Acton versus Vivek Ramaswamy. It's kind of fascinating to read these articles because it looks as if now that Vivek Ramaswamy seems a little... what would you say? He seems a little... maybe as if this is not going to be a slam dunk to win Ohio after the elections and how they went last week. He seems a little worried, in a way. You know, he's talking about how the Republicans got their rear ends handed to them, and he's talking about how the Republicans need to stop talking about identity politics, and they need to talk about affordability. You know, is it a problem? I believe that Vivek practices the Hindu religion, and he is a first generation American. I believe his parents were from India. I hope I have that right. Is that a problem for the voters? Will that be a problem for the voters? Will it be a problem for the voters that Amy Acton is a woman? You know, either way this would go, if the election were held today, you're going to have a first here in Ohio. We have never had a non-white governor, and we have never had a female governor. So it's going to go one way or the other. Now, are these problems for people in Ohio? I don't know. You know, I think we would all like to believe that we have gotten past all of that and that maybe these are not problems. But, you know, a lot of the older population votes and... Neither one of these candidates has ever been elected to office. Is this a problem? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, Lord, Scott Vivek is a Hindu.
He is, isn't he? Yeah, I thought he was.
I looked it up.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I'm glad I got it right.
Here's the thing, though. Since he's a Republican and a Hindu, I don't think the Democrats would play into that, like, oh, he's a Hindu. Whereas I think if the Democrat were a Hindu, kind of like what happened in New York with Mondami, then I think that would be used
against the fears. That's why I think that he was so disturbed by the way the elections went last week, because Vivek was one of the few politicians that came out and said the Republicans got their rear ends handed to them.
Yep.
And he also said, we got to change. We have got to start talking about affordability, and we need to stop playing identity politics. Now, why does Vivek Ramaswamy want to stop playing identity politics?
Well, because his name is Vivek Ramaswamy, and he's not white, and he's not Christian.
Right, and I think that's exactly what he saw. And I think he also saw a 10-point win by a Democrat in Virginia for governor, and we also saw the first female mayor ever elected in Detroit just 2 hours up the road. And I think he's starting to see what's going on, and that maybe electing a woman is a little easier than electing somebody who maybe doesn't practice Christianity. And
maybe acting, all she needs to do is just like hang a large Carolyn Leavitt-style crucifix around her neck.
Well, I don't know.
Persuade people.
I just think it's interesting because if you look at any
that is a big pivot for him, because he was hardcore MAGA about a year ago.
Well, what's fascinating
to me on the scene.
What's fascinating to me is if you look at Ohio and you look at any gubernatorial race. I mean, certainly all the ones that I'm covered, and I'm sure it even predates me. It always goes this way: the Democratic gubernatorial candidate wins big in Franklin County, wins big in Cincinnati, wins big in Toledo, wins big in Cleveland. Those are the areas they win, and they win by very large margins. In all the other smaller counties, for the most part, the Republicans win. Now, the question always becomes, can the Democrats run more votes up in those areas than the Republicans can in the rural areas? And I believe this is where Vivek has a major problem. Because in Marion County, in Morrow County, in Wyandotte County, in Meigs County...
Do you think they just won't turn out because his name is Vivek?
Well, will they not turn out? Will they vote the other way? Will they...
They won't vote the other way.
Well, I don't know about that anymore, because I don't think they'll vote the other way in big numbers, but even if those... I think
maybe younger Republicans might, but I don't think your staunch, hardcore conservatives, the MAGAs, because I don't even consider them conservatives, because they don't have conservative values, especially when it comes to government spending. But Ohio has lost 7% of its population. Where the people are moving to is they're moving to the bigger cities. The bigger cities tend to be more liberal, tend to vote more blue. And our red areas, our ruby red areas, people are dying and they're moving away. So that would be where I would see the shift.
Right, but my question is, can Ramaswamy win Marion County with 70% of the vote like Mike DeWine did?
Probably not 70%.
And that's the problem. Can Vivek Ramaswamy... Remember, in the Republican primary for governor 2 years ago, Joe Blystone won Morrow County. He beat Mike DeWine in the primary in Morrow County. How do you think Vivek Ramaswamy's vote's going to be in Morrow County?
Well, do you think anyone's going to primary him, though?
No, I don't think anybody will primary him, but I guess what I'm saying is that why was Joe Blystone Morrow County's candidate? You know, Blystone won very few places in Ohio, counties.
He appealed to the rural voters.
Does Vivek Ramaswamy appeal to the rural voters?
No, because Blystone was more down to earth, homey, I don't know, rural. He was more approachable. You know, DeWine's suit and tie and Blystone's pair of jeans and a cowboy boots, you know?
This is what I'm saying.
No, that would not appeal to Morrow County, I don't believe.
And then I guess you have to look at the other side.
Oh, and he's a billionaire, too, isn't he?
Well, he is a billionaire. And I guess you have to look at the other side. Amy Acton, does she still appeal to the Cincinnati group, the Columbus group, the Cleveland group, the Toledo group? Well,
because she's disliked enough to turn out voters.
Right. Well,
because of, you know, the whole, she shut down the government and everything.
Right. But it looks to me, but see, in those areas, see, that's the one glitch.
Why can't we have better choices?
Well, see, but this is the glitch for the Republicans here, I guess is all that I'm saying, is that those areas that I just ran off where Amy Acton has to win big are the areas where the COVID policies were popular.
Yeah, she will carry because, yeah.
Right,
I believe she will carry.
So she'll do well in those areas where she needs to do well. But will Vivek carry the DeWine vote in those rural areas? That's the question.
I don't believe as heavily.
Right, and if he doesn't, herein lies the problem for him. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think these polls are right, and I certainly think Vivek thinks they're right, or else he wouldn't have made that statement last week.
If things keep getting worse with affordability, even though they're denying that's the truth, if things keep getting worse, and the job numbers are not good. They're decreasing. There are a bunch of government layoffs as far as that goes. But it's things aren't headed in the correct direction right now. You give it another year. So, real quick, what do you think about the Epstein files? What do you think is going to happen with that?
Well, I think those emails yesterday were pretty
damning.
They were definitely telling. Now, I don't know if it's a conviction of anybody, but you know, people are forgetting, though, now the Epstein files, releasing those, will pass the House. I think that vote's going to take place next week, I was reading this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it'll pass the Senate. There certainly will be a lot of pressure on them to pass them.
How many senators are up for re-election next year, though?
Well, that's right. So it could happen. I'm not saying it couldn't. But from the emails...
Did you see they tried to take they didn't try. They took Lauren Boebert into the Situation Room and tried to talk her into taking her name off the petition to release the file or to force the vote.
Yeah, I found her interesting. You know, there was a lady who has obviously had her picadillos, but she's come out, you know, for this. And
oh my goodness, I'm agreeing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I didn't have that on my 2025 bingo card.
Well, no, but and Lauren Boebert, I think she's even a little more. She's done some things in theaters and.
I was explaining that to my husband the other day.
She's an interesting congressperson.
She is.
Can you imagine can you imagine some of the former Congress people doing things like that? I can't even imagine.
No, and I was trying to explain that to my son because he was talking about Ronald Reagan last night. He's onto that part of American history in his own studies. He was talking about the Reagan assassination and Brady Bill and things like that. And he was talking about some of the speeches that Reagan gave. And I was like, son, that's like back when presidents were stately. And they didn't name call. And they gave us speeches that gave us hope. And then I was going through. I was like, well, really, every president up until now has given us some speech. I was like, even George, even Baby Bush, even his dad. I was like, at some point, they had some shining moment of something. They weren't great presidents, but there were moments where, you know, they all gave us hope instead of just causing division. I was like, I'm sorry you've grown up with this.
Well, all the people, I guess my point on the Epstein files here would be all the people who are implicated in this, and if the president's one of them, it certainly sounds that way yesterday after the emails were released. I really don't know how you defend that. I don't know. That becomes, for women in Congress and women in the Senate, I would think that would, Republican or Democrat, I would think that would become a very, very, very difficult thing to defend. I mean, didn't one of the emails, I haven't looked at them that closely, but didn't one of the emails say that Trump spent time at Epstein's house with one of these victims on the couch?
Yeah, Do you know who the victim was?
It was the one who killed herself, wasn't it?
Yes, the Virginia Dufresne, or I might be saying her last name wrong, the one that just, her memoir was just released.
Exactly. So
And the one that Prince Andrew was tangled up in, and allegedly Prince Andrew asked her to have his baby.
And there you go.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is going to go well for Prince Andrew, so I don't know.
Well, for him, I guess we're not supposed to refer to him as Prince anymore.
No, just Andrew.
Lost that title. Did you see that mansion that they forced him to live in? He had to leave some castle with like 200 rooms, and now he's been forced into some house that only has 50 rooms, the poor fellow.
You know, I don't know what it is about these people. It's amazing to me, these people who have money, they have positions, they have a lot of things, and
they want to do something that's forbidden.
But why? Why?
I think they're disgusting.
Yeah, but
and
you know
they
what?
They have money, and they think they can do absolutely anything.
Right, but
nothing is forbidden to them.
Well, I'm not saying it's on the same level, but I think the same thing about somebody like Boebert. Now, she's elected to Congress. Now, she's in a public theater, and she's getting filled up by her boyfriend.
It wasn't even her boyfriend.
Well, there you go.
She was recently separated from her husband, and she ran on family values and Christian morals.
But
and
in a theater?
All this other stuff. Yeah, and she's got some guy's hand up her skirt in a theater.
But isn't it, wasn't it, wasn't it like how the Grinch stole Christmas, wasn't it?
Beetlejuice.
It was Beetlejuice. There you go. It was Christmas.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah. I just can't understand. If you are in the public eye, you've got to be aware of these things. And I don't understand that. I just can't understand.
I mean, what happened to her, though? She got reelected, so.
But do we overlook it because she's nice looking? I do wonder about that. You know, I mean, she is a nice looking young person.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah, pretty lady. Is that why we overlook it, that she's still out there sowing her oats? I just don't know why she had to sow them in the movie theater.
It was not even a movie theater. It was like a nice, respectable palace type place, but larger. So it wasn't like a palace theater. Someone from the balcony got the footage of the man's hand up her dress.
Do people do that? I mean, I'm not even talking about Lauren Boebert at this point.
No, I mean, like, I mean, maybe teenagers make out movie theaters. Still,
where does this stuff happen? I mean, I can't even. I don't even understand.
Yeah, I can't even. Spears said I can't even. That's great. But even she, I mean, she had her limit to the, yeah. So even Marjorie,
you know,
her limit.
In our last few seconds, why can't people do it the old-fashioned way and go to cars? See, if they were in a car, this wouldn't
be
news.
Get a room, Spears. Get a room.
Well, they used to go to cars. Listen, I don't think she could have waited for the room. She might have waited for the parking lot, but not a room.
Not that nice.
Not that. Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, Linda Sims, Voice of a People. Oh, my goodness, to follow this show today. Voice of a People with Linda Sims coming up next. Adam the Computer Guy at 12. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Scott Spears, hold on. I'm going to get one more call in. Okay. Very, very quickly, 10 seconds.
You know, us billionaires get bored quickly. That's why we went and had fun at these parties that Epstein had. You know, it's a pain. You know, when you have all these billions of dollars and you need to do things.
Linda Sims coming up next. Thanks for calling. I'll be back tomorrow. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why did you finally decide to speak?